You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, this week going back to 1967 for the outbreak of the Newark riots, which were around 5 days of looting as well as clashes between the city's predominantly black residents and its mostly white police force. So this was one of many similar outbreaks of violence you had going on in America at the time. Most famously you had the 12th Street riot in Detroit, which was probably the most violent. And then in Newark, the immediate causes of the riots were the allegations that the police had assaulted a taxi driver during an arrest, but there were of course other long-term causes, such as the ongoing decline of the city's industrial economy.
Smoke and flames half a mile high darken the skies as a series of mysterious explosions race through the storage tanks on an 80-acre gas tank farm in the heart of the industrial meadowlands of Newark, New Jersey. 70 of the farm's 100 storage tanks blow up. Fire so hot that firemen can't get near it for hours. The tanks, 70 feet long and 10 feet in diameter, were filled with liquefied propane, the bottled gas used for home cooking. Such is the blast's force that tanks are hurled 3/4 of a mile. Miraculously, no one is killed and only 11 are injured, but the damage reaches $5 million, and it's the worst blaze in Newark's history.
Yes, 2 years before the 1967 uprisings, violence broke out in the Watts district of Los Angeles, leading to 6 days of rioting.
Six days of rioting in a Negro section of Los Angeles left behind scenes reminiscent of war-torn cities. More than 100 square blocks were decimated by fire and looters, and few buildings were left intact. Firemen were harassed by snipers and brick-throwing hoodlums as they attempted to control the fires, many of which were left to burn themselves out. As the National Guard moved in to restore comparative calm, the losses by fire alone were put at $200 million. No attempt has yet been made to estimate the losses suffered at the hands of the looters who stole everything from liquor to playpens. Firemen were later issued flak suits of bulletproof mesh to protect them from snipers who continued to shoot from rooftops. Nearly 3,000 were arrested, and authorities had to open abandoned jails to house those netted by the police. It took the appearance of 14,000 troops to bring an end to what both Negro and white leaders called insurrection by hoodlums. Civil rights leaders were quick to deplore the unbridled lawlessness, and Martin Luther King vowed to do all in his power to prevent a recurrence in Los Angeles or anywhere. An uneasy calm prevails in what is known as the Watts area of the city. A curfew was put into effect, and the entire section declared off limits to all but residents. The people who live here are suffering great hardship with no grocery, drug, or other service stores able to operate. A special task force of 1,000 policemen stays on the alert as the thousands of guardsmen patrol an area of 35 square miles. The outbreak spread to other Southern California cities, but were quickly quelled. And Los Angeles authorities say they are now ready to move with dispatch if lawlessness breaks out anew. The riots in Los Angeles have written a sorrowful page in American history.
Yes, and after those riots, police forces across America were increasingly on their guard and would respond to any hint of similar behavior with a harsh reprisal that some said was itself responsible for furthering the violence which erupted in Newark, New Jersey on this day in history, 1967.
Newark, New Jersey became a city of race riots, violence, looting, and hate. For 5 days, it was a battleground and a looter's paradise. Colored citizens clashed with police, National Guardsmen, and state troopers. 24 people were killed and 1,200 injured. Nearly half the city was in the grip of terror. The newer flare-ups sparked similar riots in other American centers, with hatred near danger point between white and black extremist groups. In Newark, there was an uneasy tension, punctuated by minor outbreaks of violence after 5 days of bloody fighting. From rooftops and windows, snipers pick their targets. The toll of dead and injured tells its own tragic story. Damage runs into millions of dollars. With the coming of the long, hot summers, for 3 years, America has had to face the tragic consequences of riots stemming from the slums of cities stretching right across the nation. Negroes claim they have waited long enough for equal rights. Militant leaders of some urge violence as the answer. This was one example.
Yes, that very dramatic clip brings us to the end of part one of This Day in History. Part two will be right back after a quick break. But for now, here is What If Birds Aren't Singing, They're Screaming by Aldous Harding.
BFM's Breakfast Club needs a holiday, and so do you. So set sail for Drive Island. Arr!
Come down to Ellen Melville Centre Friday, July 20th and join your drive team, Johnny and Big Hungry, for some hot TGIF action. With non-alcoholic cocktails from Seed Lip, tasty treats from Health Nut, coffee from Cara Joe's, and some good old live music from Being and Lawrence Arabia.
Haul anchor, tug on a sheet and set sail for Drive Island, Friday, July 20th from 4 till 7pm and totes free. Thanks to NZ On Air Music and our pals at Ellen Melville Centre.
OMG, I'm obsessed with this podcast.
Oh, True Crime Histories. Or Grimm's Missingsville. Is it Criminal Yarns? Craig T. Nelson's Murder Tales.
No.
Oh, I got it. Tragedy Vultures. I love Tragedy Vultures.
Nah, it's one of the other ones where they watch bad movies.
Tacky.
Expand your podcast horizons. All of 95BFM's excellent shows and segments are available as podcasts on iTunes, RSS, or whatever podcatcher you're into. Never miss out again. 95BFM Vcasts. Subscribe to your favorite shows now.
Your favorite shows, like This Day in History.
Oh, which everyone's favorite
now
show.
Coming back to. And when we left off on the break, 5 days of rioting had just started in Newark, New Jersey.
Worst race riots since those 2 years ago in the Watts section of Los Angeles rocked New Jersey's largest city, Newark, for 5 consecutive days and nights. At least 24 persons are killed, more than 1,800 wounded, some 1,400 arrested. Despite patrolling by city and state police, millions of dollars in property damage is done. Looters wreck and clean out scores of shops in the Negro ghetto district. The fury of the mob makes any official-looking vehicle a target. 2 days after its beginning, police are augmented by National Guardsmen. Snipers make the streets a battlefield. Governor Hughes terms the rioting open rebellion, just like wartime. Sniper fire from open windows kills 2 policemen, a fire captain shot in the back while answering a false alarm, and several bystanders. Scores of police, troopers, guardsmen, and civilians are wounded. Officials said the snipers, some believed not to be Newark residents, used guns stolen from a local rifle factory. Even machine guns were used. Because of widespread looting, 8 emergency food centers are set up to supply milk, bread, and cereal to besieged and terrorized residents. Looters arrested by National Guardsmen are dealt with swiftly. A 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew is clamped on fully one-third of Newark. While Newark struggles to restore peace and order, the racial bitterness spreads to 4 nearby suburban towns, where a policeman is beaten to death, guns are stolen, looting and violence are reported. New Jersey, a state under siege.
Yes, so in the aftermath, the obvious question then became, why did this happen? So ABC News dispatched a film crew to the city to find out, talking to, amongst others, Mayor Hugh Adonisio.
You had quite an interesting conspiracy theory you were telling me about.
Bring it up. I'll bring it up later as we play these people.
Okay, it is quite a good one.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
I hope he does.
Do you think there's anything you could have done a month ago or a year ago that would have stopped those 5 days?
Well, I said on many times since this riot occurred that I would have continued certainly in the same vein, the same programs. However, I've come to the conclusion that there probably is some element of our community out there that evidently we haven't been reaching. We thought that we had a continuing dialogue with our community, with all elements of our community. But evidently this is not so.
Yeah, ABC also spoke to leaders in the black community, such as the relatively militant head of the United Afro-American Association, Willie Wright, as well as a more moderate politician, who unfortunately I wasn't able to find the name of.
Oh no, Ben, you've let us all down.
Yeah, especially the guy, anyway.
Anyway, here he is, Mr. Mysterious, Anonymous.
We have to reach to the very bottom level of our community to bring about a change of mind in our community, where the white man has been so prevailing and changing and dominating the folks in our community. We have to raise the level of their thinking in another kind of way.
Well, Doctor, are you distressed at all by those such as Willie Wright who advocate a strong anti-white tone in the sense that they call on Negroes in Newark to arm for the next battle and things of that nature?
Yes, that does distress me because I don't think there's anything positive that comes out of this attitude. It only engenders a great deal of reprisal on the parts of individuals who many individuals who otherwise would might be, let's say, amenable to a positive suggestion in relationship to helping the total problem. But then, too, our Willie Wright is a natural evolution of the kind of society in which we live. Not everybody has the ability to realize this one factor, that everybody has to live together, and that the use of the sword and the gun, that by no means is the way of correcting things.
Finally, they filmed a press conference held by controversial poet Amedi Bacada, along with other figures in the Black Power movement, such as H. Rap Brown and Ron Karenga.
Again, we reiterate, we will govern ourselves or no one will govern. Ezio wanted to put in an illiterate political partner of his against the wills